You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Corey,
boys and
take
girls, ladies
girls?
And gents.
There you are.
I didn't know what we was doing.
This is a special episode. We didn't talk about it beforehand. We're super excited today to welcome the vice president of recruiting and transfer portal with On3 and Rivals, one of the biggest and most talked about names in all of recruiting, high school recruiting and transfer portal in the entire country. Steve Wilfong to the show. I think, Steve, this is your third or fourth time on the show. So we're excited to welcome you back, my brother.
Where's that put me on, like, the list of VIPs? Am I skipping the line yet, or is my ass still in the back trying to get in?
No, for national guests, you're up there. For national guests, I mean, Andy Staples maybe a little higher, but, I mean,
Andy's local. Like, Andy's Wi-Fi is coming from Gainesville, so, like, that's different. There's definitely no cover at the club, and we're getting you through the line quickly.
Always a lot of love for Florida fans. Obviously, the best part of the job is for what we do at Rivals On3 is the communities, the message boards, the fan base, you know. And Bing Bong has now become a term of endearment. At least I like to put it that way, because I've been bringing good news over there, and Bing Bong has been popping up. So I'll take it. I take the wins where I can get them, but excited to be on with you guys. What an exciting time to be around Florida football. Coaching change. Coach Summerall has energized this program, created a lot of juice. You can feel the energy when I talk to the recruits that attended spring camp and practice, just the way they left campus feeling about the program and their opportunity to play for this new staff. It's resonating what they're seeing on the field. Obviously, they've landed some key commitments. They're in the mix for more moving forward. So there's an excitement for potential change with Florida as they look to compete in the SEC and beyond.
Steve, you know, that sentiment that you had earlier about Florida fans is echoed. You know, we were talking pre-show. I had the chance to go to the On3 office today, and there's a lot of people that speak really highly about the folks that cover Florida, but also the Florida Gator fans and their interactions with them. So we really appreciate you coming on. So right now the Gators are ranked number 7th in the country nationwide. They have 3 players ranked in the top 10 of their position group around the country. But I think as we get started, I mean, one of the things that we've noticed over the last probably decade or so at the University of Florida isn't necessarily the quantity of talent that Florida's brought in on the offensive line. It's maybe the quality of talent that they've brought in. And right now the Gators sit with the number one interior offensive lineman in the country, 5-star plus on the Rivals and On3 rankings, Maxwell Hiller. And then just a couple of days ago, they added the number 10 interior offensive lineman, Peyton Miller, into that. So talk to us a little bit about them, but I don't think the Gators are done or anywhere close to being done on offensive line. Talk to us a little bit about Summerall, Trotwine, and then what you think the Gators might look like on the offensive line.
Well, Trotwine's arguably the top offensive line coach in the country. When you start talking about guys like Bill Biedenbaugh at Oklahoma and Phil Trotwine and the NFL drafts, and not only guys hearing their names called early, but guys that are ready to play on Sundays. So Phil Trotwine has a great reputation for developing players at the point of attack. And for Florida to be the program that they want to be, consistently beating the upper echelon teams in the SEC, they're going to have to be consistent and tough at the line of scrimmage. And I think we've seen Florida, particularly on the offensive line, struggle to play a consistent brand of football that allows you to stay ahead of the chains and dominate football games, and really to be a ferocious defensive line and have depth and those big bodies and the athleticism and twitch to compete in the SEC. And you see the guys that Florida's in on both sides of the ball at the point of attack. That is what's really resonated with me with this new Florida coaching staff. We saw the Coach Napier era. They had some big recruiting wins in their time but not enough consistency with the program and certainly not being able to play at the level that you want to play at Saturday mm-hmm. in and Saturday out. But I think Coach Summerall and the attitude that they're trying to have around this program built on toughness, you know, he's a linebacker at heart, and the way they're recruiting at the point of attack, it gives me hope for Florida that they can get back on track and get this storied program back where you want it to be.
Now, I know we're talking about offensive side of the ball, but I think the defensive trench has got a nice setup. I know they got some guys they got to close on. We just got to commit. We just seen Chapman visiting Brewster, Jalen Brewster out in Texas. So, like, we got Tyler Alexander as well, a Palm Beach County kid, who I think highly of in the D-tackle room, and also Stevie down at Coral Gables. Like, what do you think about just the overall defensive tackle recruiting, and do you think we can flip Brewster, and maybe do we win that battle with Tyler Alexander?
Yeah, I like where you stand with Tyler Alexander, Notre Dame and Ohio State recently giving him a lot to think about. Stive out of Coral Gables is another one that I like where Florida's positioned for at this point in his process as they try and hold off Miami, among others, for him. Jalen Brewster is going to be a tough flip, but I think Florida and Indiana would be the programs that you point to and say if there are threats to flip him from Texas Tech, Indiana. Those would be the two programs that come to mind. I mean, it's Joey McGuire was the head football coach at Cedar Hill High School where Jalen Brewster plays. I mean, Texas Tech has the resources and infrastructure to recruit the best players in the country. They had the top defense in America. They were the number four seed in the college football playoff and is close to home. So there's a lot of things that Texas Tech has going for them. But I think what it shows you for Florida to go out and land Maxwell Hiller, to get Jalen Brewster on campus, to flip Amari Fountain, to have a top 10 class at this point in the cycle, that they are getting the support that they need off the field to be competitive where they need to be. But you only get to have those conversations if you do a good job of recruiting the kid and have something to stand on. They got to believe that they can be developed and be the player that they want to be on the next level first and foremost. They certainly want to win, and they want to feel a connection with your staff. And I think this new Florida staff has shown that they can build a rapport with these recruits. They have track records of player development there, and they believe that this is a football team on the rise, and they want to be part of it. And then when you get to the infrastructure and resource conversations, Florida's not taking a back seat in some of these recruitments as well.
Steve, Nick, did you have something? Go ahead.
Yeah. There's so much turnover. Obviously, some of the guys are like Phil Troutwine from P4 schools, but a lot of guys that came from, or a couple guys that came from Tulane. The one holdover really is Gerald Chapman. So kind of sticking with that defense, how much do you think with a new staff having that familiarity and Chapman obviously just having a first rounder and Caleb Banks, how much does that help with this class?
Well, I think obviously he knows the lay of the land in Gainesville and is a familiar face that had some connections with guys that maybe they were recruiting under the previous staff. But I still think that it starts at the top with Coach Summerall and the message that he's, you know, bringing to the trail. And then you got Dave Caldwell and that off-field recruiting staff and being organized and having your visits infrastructure ready, and then certainly being able to have those NIL conversations. So I think new coordinators, new head coach, and their track records of success, having an exciting, fun style of play, and coming mm-hmm. these recruits coming to campus and seeing an energetic physical display is something that they want to be part of. But they also, again, feel connected to all these coaches.
Steve, I want to ask you guys, I have known Davin Davidson for a couple of years now. One of his quarterback coaches is one of my best friends. So I've known a lot about his skill set and about him. And he sat the bench his first couple of years when he was in high school. He transfers to Cardinal Mooney last year, wins a national championship, but still up until relatively recently, kind of an under the radar three-star guy. He has climbed the rankings about as fast as I've seen any quarterback do during an offseason. What do you think that the Gators are getting in Davin Davidson, and where do you think his ceiling is rankings-wise going into his senior year?
Well, Davin Davidson, number 11 quarterback in the country in the Rivals rankings, number 9 in the Rivals industry, 6'6", 215 pounds, big frame, has a chance to be a massive individual on the next level. Whippy arm talent, can really sling it all over the yard, a guy that can make all the throws. But talking to his high school coach, Jared Clark, just what mm-hmm. they put on him mentally, the checks he has to make pre-snap, understanding coverages and what the defenses are trying to throw at him. He's someone that spends a lot of time in the film room with the coaching staff and really impressed Coach Clark and company with the dedication that he has to the game. It's kind of wild. I covered Jared Clark, his coach, when he went through his recruiting process, and now he's winning state championships down there at Cardinal Mooney. You said national championship. Maybe that you're
speaking
that
state championship. My apologies.
Yeah. Maybe you're speaking that into existence.
Maybe.
Who knows? He'll ultimately win a national championship. You know, he's got exciting traits and skills. And Coach Summerall at Tulane put their quarterback in position to be successful. Coach Buster Faulkner, offensive coordinator, is one of the top offensive minds in college football. It has a great track record and very respected amongst the business. And so Florida hiring him to be the coordinator, I think, was massive for them as they look to get on track, the way he kind of schemed up Georgia Tech and made them an exciting football program over there with Brent Key before coming to Florida is big. But Davin Davidson has a ton of potential. But obviously, a lot of the game is between the ears and knowing where your danger zones are pre-snap and making sure you're getting in the right protection so you can stay on script and keep calling the plays you want to call. But certainly when the time calls to make a play, he's got all the traits.
Now, we're still early into the NIL transfer portal era, right? And I know there's a lot of different strategies. I heard you on Josh Newberg's Whip Around show mentioned that Florida's all in on high school recruiting. What's your just overall perspective of the landscape? Like, what seems to be the balance of how much do you pour into high school recruiting, salary wise, everything that comes with it, resources wise, and trying to save spots? And what balance do you do in the transfer portal?
Well, if you look at the teams competing for national championships, they're still hitting the high school ranks hard, taking classes of over 20 people. Some programs like USC signed over 30. Now, that's not going to stop you for looking for some difference makers in the portal to shore up some rooms where maybe you misevaluated or had some injuries or have some guys leaving early for the NFL draft or guys leaving your own program for the portal. The way to manage your roster now is to recruit well, to retain. So having a good plan for roster retention, I think if you look at the Oregon Ducks, they're as good as any program in the country of making sure that they keep the guys on there too deep that they want to keep and having a plan for that. And then obviously being able to hit the portal and having the funds to go out and land an elite player or two, but then certainly understanding having a good scouting department for the portal and seeing guys that have potential to come in and be difference makers and impact players for you. I mean, look at Indiana. Now I know they got a lot of portal guys out of James Madison when Coach Cignetti and company first came, but they also portal was good to them from all over the country, and they did a good job of evaluating those guys and finding the players that mentally fit what they were trying to do and schematically fit what they were trying to do as well. So having guys in your scouting department that are dedicated to portal evaluations, so the guys that you take, the grownups that you're bringing into your football program, are able to be the instant impact players at a high level that you're expecting them to be. But the programs competing are taking big high school classes, and so high school recruiting's still relevant, still matters, and the more guys you can develop internally and keep within your culture and your play calling, the better you're off, the better off you're going to be.
Steve, I want to ask you quickly about some potential commitments for the Gators next week. Caleb Dillard from Jenks High School out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, the safety. You guys have him ranked as a four-star, ranked 243rd in the country. And then Stive Bentley Kiamuju. I'm doing my best here. Do you have any thoughts on both of those guys? As I know, Gator fans are anxiously waiting their commitments potentially next week.
Yeah, so Stive's obviously a guy that's pretty coveted by the in-state power programs. You know, when you're going head-to-head with Miami for a player from Coral Gables, and the new Auburn staff is super high on him as well. That would be a big recruiting win for them, and that's someone that they were out in front on, an evaluation win, right? They offered early, built that relationship with them, earned that trust, and everybody's been trying to play catch-up for him as well. And then Caleb Dillard, you know, to be the football team that they want to be defensively, hitting big in the secondary is something that they aim to do. Flipping Fountain from South Carolina was big. We love his potential, top five player at his position at corner. And then Rivals 300 recruiting ranking for Caleb Dillard, you know, 6'2", 170 pounds, a rangy player on the back end that brings an exciting skill set as well.
Yeah. I know I'm just throwing names at you, so I apologize. I know that you don't know the entire player ever.
Keeping you on your toes.
Like, you know, obviously anytime you get a head coach change, you're going to get that jolt of momentum and excitement around your program, and people are going to buy in. But Coach Summerall, the energy, the lunch pail, the hard nose, blue collar is resonating, I think, with recruits, because the guys they're targeting fit that personality that they're looking for. They're doing a good job of identifying guys that are for them. And these point of attack players, man, they got a chance to be difference makers, size, speed, athleticism, physicality. That's going to be the true test for Florida, because, you know, you every year in and year out, that's what the, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs are, a very physical football team, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Miami this year. I mean, these are the programs that are ferocious around the line of scrimmage that are competing for all the marbles. Obviously, Indiana, they had a very veteran offensive line, and on defense, they were assignment-driven physical football team that made it very difficult to gain the yards that you needed to stay on script.
I was going to ask you this question. It's kind of off script of what we're talking about, but it seems like there's a big influx of like foreign players, especially in South Florida, as I'm a little bit more hands-on, like from camp to camp, 7-on-7, like the Stevie kid that we was talking about, Stevie Bentley down at Coral Gables. It's a lot of them, even from Canada to London. How does that, like the evaluation process and them getting, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of tape on those guys. So how do you guys go about just evaluating the kids that come from different countries with no tape? Because we just seen it in the draft too, for some reason.
Well, the thing is, you're not seeing a lot of them in the draft yet, right? So that's the thing. Right. Until some of these guys start hitting big, it's hard to start ranking these guys very high. But they do have intriguing body sizes and athleticism. And the football is becoming more popular internationally. So with that, I think we'll see the level of play raise internationally. But we get to see these guys in camps at college camps, or they come in and attend an Under Armour camp, and some of them do boarding school now and play their last year or two in the States. So there is ways to evaluate them, but there hasn't been a whole lot of translation into the NFL draft just yet.
No, for sure.
I got a final question. We had the chance to catch up with Anthony Speedy Jennings. He was a commit that the Gators got on Saturday. We caught up with him on Sunday. When it comes to what you know about Buster Faulkner, when it comes to what you know about John Summerall and what he tries to build, I know that he inherited a pretty good wide receiver group. Then he goes out and gets a couple great guys in the portal in Singleton and Micah Mays and a couple others. But what you know about them and kind of what you know what they might be looking at the wide receiver positions, how do you think Speedy Jennings fits in? And then how do you think that that room ends up finishing out under Marcus Davis and Trent McKnight?
Well, to answer your last question first, I think they got a great shot to land Elias Pearl, who's a very dynamic playmaker from the state of Florida who ranks in our top 100. And if you're able to add him to Anthony Jennings, who's averaged over 25 yards a catch over the last 2 years, you got some guys that could light up the scoreboard in a hurry. And Buster Faulkner he's got a pro style offense that asks these guys to do a lot of things that they would have to do on Sundays, which is what makes it attractive to recruits. A lot of pre-snap motion and things of that nature. And it's a balanced attack, but these are guys that, that have shown on Friday nights that when they touch the football, they're a big play waiting to happen.
Sounds good.
Cool. Well, Steve, we want to be respectful of your Wednesday evening, man. We really appreciate you for joining Stadium and Gale.
You guys, Orlando Magic fan? Are you guys following them? Like, we had a great Pacers run last year up here in Indianapolis.
I'm a Magic fan. These guys are not. Don't jump on.
Steve, I am hanging out in Nashville, missing both Broadway, Midtown, the Gulch, or going to the Tampa Bay Lightning game, or watching the Tampa Bay Lightning game to hang out with you this evening.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Look forward to the next time. Take care. See y'all.
Before you leave, let everybody know where they can follow you.
Rivals.com, man. That's where we're at. And we have obviously have a great Florida site too at the Florida on Three.
Gators Online.
Yeah, Gators Online, man. Make sure you lock in that subscription with Blake Alderman and Corey Bender, Keith Niebuhr, and those guys for your up-to-date best information on the Florida Gators. Appreciate y'all having me on. We'll see you guys.
Thanks, Steve. You guys want to hang out a bit?
What's up with it?
I had a little birdie fly to my office today.
Uh-oh.
I think the Gators
you weren't in the office.
I think the metaphorical office, Nick.
Okay.
I think that there could be a chance. The Gators got three commitments this week. I think that there's a chance, a very strong chance, that the Gators might get a couple of commitments next week as well.
Uh-oh. Bro, Dan's. Corey, Dan, all Dan had to do was go to Italy, figure stuff out. Bro, my guy's shooting shots.
I went to France, Germany, Switzerland.
With his rich friends, man, private jetting it, you know?
I need
two birdies. Yeah, your clip right now.
Two birdies today. IW Jake, 79. Strong 79.
Ooh.
What do you guys think? Let's talk candidly. What do you guys think of the recruiting class so far?
I think it's really good, man. I think you get, you're getting the foundation of it, and then you can start the pieces like Brewster. I don't know how fast he flips, but you know, you make a solid class, and then you try to get the creme de la creme towards the end to cap this thing off. Cause that's what it's going to take to get top five. You got to get the kids like Brewster to the high-end five stars, because we're going to have the numbers. But for us to hit top five, I think you get seven to like three range. You're talking about very incremental numbers right at that point.
Sure.
Very small. It'll be interesting because, like Steve mentioned, you know, that math equation, that math problem that front offices have to do now, because you have to have money to retain guys. You've got to have money for the incoming freshmen, but also on the offensive line, that's a position John Sumrall already told us, like, would love a portal class, would love a spring portal to be able to go and get some guys. Can you count on freshmen starting in the offensive line? I don't think so. So like you've got to have, all right, well, we need money for portal. And the next time the portal opens, to get maybe a veteran guy that can come in and play. Cause I think it's an offensive line that you have to completely, you know, retool, and you're getting some good, really good. I mean, the number one offensive tackle, number one center in the class, but are they ready to play in 27 or are they ready to play in 28? And what do you do in 27 if not 28? So I think there's just like a constant running of math equations when you're thinking of the portal and high school recruiting and retention.
I think like the strategy got to be when you're going out the five-star kids, because the price tag is healthy. Like they got to be kids that are ready to contribute at the minimum in the two deep, which I do think both of those linemen we got so far are going to be ready to compete definitely with what we have on the roster, if not pushing for a starting job. So I think they're approaching it right. Like you can't get developmental guys that you got to pay seven figures. It's just because then that take away from the funds that you need for a guy to be productive in the transfer portal. So.
No, 100%. I know we talked about it on the show on Monday night. The Gators had an 80% blue chip ratio. That number has increased because Jackson Bellinger is now a four-star instead of a three-star.
I don't want not to disparage him. I went and looked. The top, so the 32 guys get 5 stars, but then from 33 to 400 are 4 stars. It just seems like a lot of 4 stars.
It's all the way to 400. I don't think it's to 400.
Out of tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Like I get that.
You're still one of the top 400 players in the country. I don't know.
It's a small number in the grand scheme, but that's a lot.
In the grand scheme, yes. In the grand scheme, it's a small percentage of how many kids are playing high school football across the country. But also, like that, it just feels like that's a lot of four.
That's a lot. 400 is a lot, bro.
It would be like 378 four stars and 32 five stars.
Yeah, 368. But I get it. But at the grand scheme of things, you have 135 or 132 Division I programs.
Yeah,
the average of having a little bit more than three, less than four stars per school doesn't seem astronomical. Now I know not all schools are going to get a 4-star, but I don't think that it's a terribly off number in terms of how many kids are playing high school football, how many people populate a high school or a college football
team.
But now
I want to know, because I already know it's a million 3-stars. So now I want to know like the number on like how many 3-stars they are.
Yeah, like when does it get down to 2-stars?
I don't even see 2-stars.
I wasn't going to keep clicking expand page. I wasn't going to keep clicking show more.
Nick,
I got down to 400, 401, and I saw 3-star. Go, all right.
We're good.
Just seems like a lot.
It does. Well, I get it. I think there's both sides. But all right, gentlemen. Well, it's great chatting with you. For those that are watching,
are you going official standing on business of your news next week, Dan?
I'm staying on business. Yeah. Okay. I think the Gators get two commitments next week.
Let's go, Dan.
Gators get two commitments next week. I think one on the defensive line and then one at the safety position.
It's a motion party. You cannot get in.
I'm throwing it out there. I mean, my reputation to some is.
You only can go up.
I've seen the comments, but
you only can go up, bro.
We're putting it out there. I'm staying on business. I think the Gators get two commitments next week, one on the defensive line and one.
What's your you got any friendly flyer miles right now?
No, you should have gotten access to an RPM account while you were in the office.
Plan a UK trip, bro.
Tell Berg you need an RPM.
No.
Remember Berg got me a crystal ball and the streets went crazy on Twitter back in the day. That shit was nuts.
I was trolling with it. Yeah. By the way, met Pete Nakos today. Much taller than I anticipated.
Oh,
Pete's
word.
Like 6'1". 6'1", because I'm 6 foot. He's a little slightly taller than me.
Be that tall, have little man like energy is crazy.
I met the Crane and Co. folks.
Oh, I've met him.
Jake and Blaine and the rest of them. A lot of people knew Nick over there. A lot of them said positive things, surprisingly. Very positive things about Nick.
I mean, he didn't work there like anything. I don't know why they would know Nick.
They all asked how you were doing, brother. But, man, heck of a show. Heck of a week for Stadium and Gale. Again,
Nick's reflecting that NDA, man. He ain't saying nothing.
I know Jake.
We texted about it. I get it, Nick. Go check out our interview with Anthony Speedy Jennings from Sunday. Check out our interview with David Decker on Monday night. Check out our interview with John Summerall that was dropped on Tuesday. And then thanks again for joining us, Steve Wiltfong, for tonight. We'll see you guys on Monday.
No shortage of content for you guys this week.
No, I think this is the most episodes you've ever done in 1 week. So
look at us
and look at God. All right, guys, we appreciate everybody in the chat. Tez, maybe a linebacker. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not standing on business on that one. Just on the defensive line and safety. Growth mindset said, thanks, Nick, for the girl dad advice. Tez, are there any legacies? I don't know. I don't
I think we all legacied out for the next decade, man.
Bro, I just realized right before the draft. I just realized right before the draft that we are like I think the Townsend lineage has run its course at Florida with Rocco, cousin Rocco, finishing off 12 years of Townsend family tree at the University of Florida.
The special teams family.
Ever since I've been at Florida, there has been special somebody team, in the Townsend special family players, special players. On the roster, but not this year. Brother.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you at the same corner, same time, different time, same corner, different time, Monday. Thanks for watching, everybody.